When women forgive, God is glorified. Here's Mary Cassian.
Think of one particular woman who wrote me a letter, and she had experienced an incestuous relationship with her father, had gone through many years of bitterness, and was just convicted of needing to forgive her father. And so went through that process of forgiveness. And she said, you know, I went into his home, and I bathed him and washed him and held him. Mm. And he looked me in the eyes before he died and said, now I have seen God.
Mm.
And that same thing in her woundedness, able to reach out and with forgiveness, that was what brought him to Christ.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, May 30th. Women from around the country and a few from outside our borders are preparing to come to Chicago for True Woman 08. It's the National Women's Conference, October 9th through 11th. We're joining two of the speakers at that conference, Nancy Lee DeMoss and today's guest.
We're talking this week about what I think are some very important issues of the heart, going to the heart of what it means to be a woman and what it means to be a woman in a world that has been incredibly influenced by feminist ideology and thinking and theory. None of us is immune from the influence of that way of thinking, and we want to examine our lives as Christian women and say, are we living out a biblical ideal of what it means to be a woman, or have we given into a secular and worldly way of thinking? Our guest this week is my friend Mary Cassian, who is a Canadian. Mm-hmm. She's a wife, she's a mom, she has a professional background, she's a student of the Word, she's a teacher of women. Mary, I love your heart, and I just thank you so much for being our guest on Revive Our Hearts.
Thanks, Nancy.
You've been a real encourager to me in this ministry. And in fact, it was several years ago as I began to read one of your books called The Feminist Mistake, in which you talked about the historical development of feminism in our culture and the parallel development in the churches. It was as I was reading that book that God planted seeds in my heart that really became Revive Our Hearts. And I began to think, oh Lord, wouldn't it be something if in our day there would be a small handful of women that you would raise up to be counter-revolutionaries, to begin to reflect your heart and your way of thinking, and to represent in our world the biblical and godly way of thinking about womanhood. So you really have had, even long before we knew each other, a significant influence on my life and my thinking and on this ministry. And I just want to thank you for that.
Thanks, Nancy.
Now, I've heard you say, Mary, that there was a day when you would have called yourself a feminist.
Yes, there was a time I would have called myself a feminist, and that's because I am very much for women. I am for the worth and the dignity and the value of women. I like to see women honored and assume their God-given dignity. And so I am very much for those things, and I believe that the Bible, the Word of God, is for those things as well. But I came to see feminism as a philosophy that went far beyond the worth and the dignity of women. Feminism really sought to answer the question, how do I become whole? How do I fill that missing space? How do I find worth and value?
So the question itself really wasn't a wrong question.
No. However, their answer, the answer of feminism lies in finding truth and determining value within ourselves, within woman, that I can be a source of my own truth and that I can find truth within and that I can become whole by following my inner truth. And that stands against the Word of God, because God is truth and we find truth by following Him, and that's an external standard.
And that's an illustration of, I think, an area where many of us as evangelical women have unwittingly fallen into a feminist way of thinking. We would say, oh, I don't believe all that stuff. And yet how often on a daily basis do we make decisions, how we'll react, how we'll respond, what we will do, choices based on what we think, based on our emotions, rather than saying, what does God's word have to say about what my response should be to this husband who didn't keep his vows or this child who is not respecting and responding to my authority?
That's right. And if we get away from that, if we get away from the word of God as being our ultimate authority, we drift into all sorts of things in it. And I think that it creates problems in the male-female relationships. We see more problems now in the male-female relationship than back in the 50s.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. There's more abuse. They set out to solve all those issues, to restore the dignity and value of women. But in doing so, outside of the framework of the Word of God, it's become worse.
So how can a woman who's experienced, a Christian woman, who's experienced abuse, a distant or absentee dad or controlling, domineering dad or abusive men in her life, how can women then turn around and say, I honor men as created in the image of God and have a right view of men?
Well, it's difficult for women. I've dealt with a lot of women who have been abused, sexually abused, physically, verbally abused, and those wounds go deep.
Mm-hmm.
Those wounds go very deep. And I believe as women, we often react emotionally to issues and we base our reaction on our emotions. And so when we have been wounded, we look for ways to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that we need to stand up for ourselves and protect ourselves. And we also look for someone to blame. But ultimately, the Word of God teaches us that we need to look at sin and the evil one as
mm-hmm.
a source of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that all of us sin, and that Christ's way is the way of forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
and Christ's way of freedom and liberty is the way of forgiveness. And I really believe that for women who have been wounded, they just really need to draw near to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they see Jesus, and the more they see the Father heart of God, and the more that they experience His love, they will be healed, and they will experience His goodness through knowing the Lord and through drawing close to Him. And the example of Christ, and I just have my Bible open here to Philippians chapter 2, the example of Christ who himself experienced rejection,
yes.
experienced pain,
experienced abuse,
experienced all sorts of terrible things, and yet was able to forgive, and who had that inner quiet spirit and that attitude where he submitted himself to the Father and said, you know, I don't need to retaliate. I don't need to make it right. My Father, God, is looking out for me. And having that same attitude, I think, is the attitude that women need to seek. It's a difficult thing when a woman has been wounded so deeply to have a right view
mm-hmm.
about men
mm-hmm.
When she has been wounded at the hands of men.
It really takes us back to 1 Peter chapter 2, where the scripture says, when Christ suffered, he did not threaten.
Mm-hmm.
He did not retaliate, but he entrusted himself to the one, his heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
who judges all things righteously.
Yes.
And by his willingness to take those wounds, to suffer and to trust himself to God, he became the means of our healing. He became the wounded healer. And you know, the world says, you've been wounded at the hands of men. They've not understood you. They've abused you. They've mistreated you. Therefore, you need to lash out, be bitter, be angry, be independent, isolate yourself, separate yourself. And we move into whole areas of even perverse sexuality,
mm-hmm.
lesbianism, etc., that have flowed out of women being angry at men. And the world says that's the way to address these issues. But as
mm-hmm.
we look at the women who've adopted that way of thinking, we realize they're more miserable than ever.
Yes.
They're more frustrated than ever. They have not been healed. It's only when we as women turn our hearts and lift up our issues and our hurts and our needs to the Lord and say, you are my source of life and grace and strength and help and healing. And I am willing, having received you into my life, to live out the implications of the gospel, which means I am willing to forgive. I am willing to esteem all others as better than myself. I am willing to love and pray for and do good to my enemies and to those who have wronged me. Then as women, we hold an incredible power, the power of Christ in us,
mm-hmm.
to be wounded healers.
That's right.
To become instruments of redemption in the hearts of men, children, grandchildren, friends, mates. In the lives of others, we become real instruments of the grace of God as we're willing to respond to those hurts God's way.
I just think of examples of the stories of women that I have heard over the years. And I have seen women who have been injured at the hands of men and been unable to forgive and have grown old and bitter and angry and have not been able to release it. And then I think of women who have really struggled to walk in forgiveness and who have hung on to the promises of Scripture. And I think of one particular woman who wrote me a letter and said, you know, her father, she had experienced incest, an incestuous relationship with her father, had gone through many years of bitterness and was just convicted of needing to forgive her father. And so went through that process of forgiveness and then was able to go and reach out to her father. And it ended up being the last week of her father's life that she reconnected. And she said, you know, I went into his home and I bathed him and washed him and held him and was able to extend love and grace to him. And he looked me in the eyes before he died and said, now I have seen God. And that same thing in her woundedness, able to reach out and with forgiveness, that was what brought him to Christ.
And that really is at the heart of the gospel.
It is.
The Lord Jesus, who was wounded for us, became a wounded healer so that as we are wounded and we forgive as he has forgiven us, and as we extend mercy and grace as he has extended them to us, we can become instruments of healing and grace and mercy in the lives of others.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss. She's been talking with Mary Cassian about the power of women who forgive. Nancy will be right back with the second half of today's program. I want to offer you some help if you're thinking all of this seems impossible, that forgiveness can't help your situation. I hope you'll read Nancy's book, Choosing Forgiveness. It'll show you the value of forgiveness through stories of women who have found freedom. It will show you what the process of forgiveness looks like and help you walk through it. We'll send you Choosing Forgiveness when you make a donation to the ministry at reviveourhearts.com. Or ask for Choosing Forgiveness when you donate by phone. Just call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Nancy and a group of friends are here to reflect on the ideas we've heard from Mary Cassian. We'll hear from Kim Wagner, Holly Eliff, and Carolyn McCulley. Here's Nancy to get us started.
As I started this conversation with Mary today, I referenced the fact that God had used her book, The Feminist Mistake, in a significant way years ago in my own life to open my eyes, to spark something in my own heart that, as I said earlier, really proved to be the seeds of Revive Our Hearts. And I know, Holly, we were friends at that time, and you read Mary's book about the same time, and it had a similar effect in your thinking.
Nancy, I remember one night in particular when Mary was in town and you were ill. And so I had had the privilege of picking her up at the airport. We came back to your condo and just had this incredible conversation where suddenly pieces of my understanding about God's will for women, about how women got in the circumstances we were in, about God's desires for women versus our desires and how convoluted that was in our culture. And all those things began to drop into place for me as we just sat and talked for hours about this whole progression of the feminist movement, how it's impacted our culture, how now it is so pervasive we do not even realize that it is normal in our thinking.
Well, Nancy, I remember when you passed this book on to me shortly after you had read it, and I also grew up in that time period. I did not claim to be a feminist, but although mentally I would say that I understood the biblical call for women, and I was practicing the life of a feminist without even realizing it in my relationship not only with my husband, but with men in general.
Kim, you were a pastor's wife, evangelical
What did that look like?
Rude, obnoxious, hostile. Not that I realized I was doing that, but just in my treatment of men, you know, the feminist movement was birthed from seeds of anger towards men, hostility toward men. Women respond to abuse in their lives or just perceived hurts from men in ways that they've determined no man is going to hurt me again. So if I approach a man as a strong woman, if I come across verbally in a way that protects me, I can intimidate a man and he will fear crossing me, then I've protected myself from further harm.
That sense of self-sufficiency, I know, Carolyn, in your life as a single, mm-hmm. you have some amazing stories about how this whole concept impacted you.
Well, I am probably the last of the lot here to have read Mary's book. And when I did, I felt like I was reading a narrative of my entire life, because as she, you know, opened up the passage of time and explained what was being done purposefully by the feminist movement in each generation, there I sat. I was born the year when Feminine Mystique by Betty Friedan was published. In grade school, Title IX came out, and I thought, yes, every woman should be able to compete in sports with men. You know, on the same teams, we're just as good. Even if you physically saw the difference that men were stronger, it didn't matter. And then when I got to college, and I'm reading in her book how it was a very intentional move to take this feminist ideology to the next generation and starting women's studies programs. And there I was, and I cannot even tell you why I got involved in the women's studies program at the University of Maryland. I just drifted into it like so many other women had. And there I was, not only taking women's studies courses and having this just beat into my mind, but I was also becoming a teaching assistant, and I went on to get a certificate in it. And I can't remember that there was any particular plan to do this. I just drifted with the culture. And so I'm reading her unfolding of this movement and thinking I was there at every one of these points and never making a conscious decision, just being affected. And so there I was with this free-floating anger toward men, convinced that men were the problem. And then I become a Christian and I find out men are not the problem. Sin is the problem. Mm-hmm. Now, to tell the truth, men have sinned against women in some egregious ways. And so the feminist movement did clearly see that. But their solution was to push men away and not to say, oh, there's a redemptive element here in Christ. And so I just had this free-floating anger toward men in general, and I was always going to spar with them and compete with them. Even though I have had a relatively blessed and uneventful life, I still was as angry as the next person, and I really didn't have any cause for it. I just kind of absorbed it from the culture.
Carolyn, what you said a minute ago about just that it was almost unconscious, mm-hmm. it was just something you did without ever making a conscious choice.
Mm-hmm. Drifting with the culture.
Drifting. And I think that's what we're seeing now, many, 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 many years later. We are seeing the fact that as Christian women, we are not choosing, we're just absorbing. And so all of a sudden, we find ourselves with a very secular viewpoint in many areas. I can remember when God actually dealt with us about the whole issue of birth control. Somebody said to me, well, so you got on birth control when you got married, you started taking birth control. Didn't it occur to you then that that might have been something you wanted to explore in God's Word? And honestly, I said, you know, it never occurred to me to even ask the question, what does God say about this? It was just a part of the culture. It was the norm. And now, as Christian women, we don't even realize how much more that governs our thought mm-hmm. than God's Word.
And I think one reason that it's so easy for the church to drift with that is because the philosophy of feminism at its root is just embracing to do whatever you want to do to get your own way. It is a sin issue of the heart. And sadly, within the church, within the world, within the culture, the church so many times is not willing to stand against the culture. And so it's easier to absorb that.
Well, and once we remove the standard of God's Word from our decision-making, from our thought processes, so that we don't even consider it any longer, even as Christians, then any information, I can find truth within myself, which was one of the tenets of feminism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That I can look within myself and know what is right and true.
And as we see this seismic revolution that took place within our culture under feminism, what has captured my heart and imagination, which is really what Revive Our Hearts is all about, is what could happen in our day if there were some intentional women who say we will live out God's way of thinking, and what kind of revolution, a counter-revolution we've called it, could God bring about within the church today, mm-hmm. which is where we need for that to start. You know, we don't have to just roll over and play dead with what has happened to the culture or just wring our hands in despair, but we truly can be a part of what God wants to do in sounding forth a different sound and call women to live out the kingdom of Christ in our day.
I hope you'll consider taking significant action after hearing those words from Nancy Lee DeMoss. She'll be sharing this burden of a countercultural revolution among women at a conference in Chicago this October 9th through 11th. It's called True Woman 08. The guest we heard earlier, Mary Cassian, will be there, along with John Piper, Johnny Erickson Tata, Karen Loritz, and many other wise, godly women sharing their insights into what it means to be a true woman. Get more information at reviveourhearts.com. This is a listener-supported outreach to women. Our donors make events like True Woman 08 possible. We rely on the gifts of our listeners to keep Revive Our Hearts on the air. And as we head into the summer, quite frankly, we need extra gifts to help us through what can be lean months. Would you pray about what you can do? A gift of any size would be greatly appreciated. Also this month, we've been taking some time to tell you about the Revive Our Hearts Ministry Partner Team. Our Ministry Partner Team is crucial in providing regular monthly support, allowing us to focus on ministry and giving us the flexibility to expand outreaches to more women. Here's Nancy to tell you more about this important group of people.
Well, I just want to say that this ministry would not be possible without the support and the encouragement of our ministry partner team. Ministry partners agree to pray for this ministry regularly. They pray for me. They pray for Revive Our Hearts. They pray for revival among women in this country and around the world. And I can't tell you how important those prayers are. We just cannot do anything without the power of God, and we need your prayers. In addition to supporting this ministry with their prayers, our ministry partners commit to telling others about Revive Our Hearts and the resources that are available, and they also support this ministry financially on a monthly basis. I'm coming to you today to ask if you would be willing to join our ministry partner team. When you do, you're making these three commitments: to pray for this ministry, to share the ministry with others, and to support the ministry financially on a monthly basis. As a part of our ministry partner team, you will be helping us reach out to women who need to hear the truth of God's Word. When you join our ministry partner team, we'll say thanks by sending you one of my books, followed up by a monthly resource created just for our ministry partners. You'll also be able to attend one of our Revive Our Hearts conferences each year at no charge. And this year, that means you can use that benefit, that bonus, to pay the registration fee at the True Woman 08 conference coming up in October. For more details about the ministry partner team, what it means, and how you can join, go to reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Now, perhaps you've been hearing the broadcast this week about speaking respectfully to your husband. And you've been wondering, does that mean I can never bring up any problems? Well, Mary Cassian will address that important question when we return on Monday for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.